Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to see you in God's house this morning. And we do have a number of visitors. You're all very welcome this morning as we will later on in our service celebrate infant baptism as little baby Maya is baptized and as we think about those covenant promises that God has made for the people who know Him and love Him. So we look forward to that later in our service. The announcement sheet has been made available for the members of the congregation, and just there's one or two things to highlight there. Just remember, there is no Trinity at Prayer this week. The next night that it is on is the 28th, so please be aware of that. Doesn't mean you can't pray. It just means we'll not be gathering here together to pray. So don't come up this week. Christianity Explored, then, is on the bottom of the first page. Just to remind those people who have went through the Christianity Explored course, it's the second of the follow-up evenings at 8 p.m. in the lounge here. So just to remind you of that. And then the members of the leadership team of Christianity Explored, just to remind you that you're meeting this morning in the quiet room for a few moments just after this morning's service. So that's the leaders and the people who run and organize our Christianity Explored course. And then just to remind you all as well that we have a holiday Bible club this year, and we would like you to sign up if you would be able to help out in any way at all. I think there's still a sheet out at the front there. Please sign up to that. The date and all is on it, and there'll be more information later on. And then there's one announcement here for a fundraising event. It's called a Mud Run. Now, you can use your imagination and you'll understand what that means. I don't think you'll be going to that in your Sunday best. But it's important that if you do want to go to this or contribute to it, the funds raised will be for a cage where young people play football. Now, that sounds as if it's a very draconian thing where they use bats and sticks and things. But no, it's a cage where they play two-a-side football. They had it down here at the youth club on Friday night, and I believe it was a great success. And this cage is for the use of young people on the peninsula, but it needs funds. So if you would like to go on this mud run, find out more about it, please speak to Ray Campbell today. Or if you'd just like to make a donation towards the running of this ministry, it really is a ministry tool. It brings young people in to do something exciting, then gives the leaders the opportunity to draw alongside and to chat to them. And it's very, very worthwhile. So please speak to Ray if you want to go on a mud run or if you'd just like to contribute to that. We come this morning to worship God. And I want to read just a few verses from the start of John's Gospel. We'll be looking at John's Gospel later on in our service, when we think about Jesus the shepherd and his voice. But there's another voice mentioned just at the start of the gospel here, when John himself, John the Baptist, is being asked, "Who are you? Tell us who you are." John says, in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord." Some of the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Then the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John didn't want to take any credit. He didn't want people worshipping him. He wanted people worshipping the one and only true God, Jesus. That's who we are here to worship today. The one true God, his Son, by the power of his Holy Spirit. We come to worship, and we're going to do that now as we stand to sing the words of this lovely song of approach. It helps us to just focus on why we're here. Here I am to worship. We humbly come, Jesus humbly came to earth, as John said, to be the one who would take away the sin of the world. What an awesome God we come to worship. So let's stand together, open our hearts and sing, "Here I am to worship."
the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship.
Let's unite our hearts now in prayer as we come before God. Let us pray. Lord, you are altogether worthy of our praise. And you alone are worthy of our praise. You are our great creator God, our great saving God, our great sustaining God, our great eternal God. Lord, we thank you for your work of creation. We thank you that you created us out of love. You saved us because of love. You call us to worship you, because you desire us to love you back. And Lord, we love you. We love you for all you have done, all you do for us, and all that you will do in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that we can look beyond the scene of time into eternity and know that there's a possibility for us to spend all eternity with you. Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we realize that we forget about your great love for us. We forget about the promises that you have made to walk with us, to be our God for all time and all eternity. And Lord, there are those times whenever we rely on our own understanding. We make decisions based on our own thinking. We know there's a path that you want us to walk, but times we walk on a path that we want to walk, satisfying our own needs and desires. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness this morning, from the oldest in the room to the youngest in the room. For each of us, Lord, who have turned away from you, who have not listened to you, when we've done the wrong thing, when we should have done the right thing, or said the wrong thing, when we should have said the right thing, when we've not been as friendly as we could be at school, or at home, or amongst our neighbors. Lord, we just open our hearts to you this morning, asking your forgiveness. We know, Lord, that we're not worthy of your love. But your love is so great. You love us anyway, and you forgive us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray as we meet this morning, Lord, we know we're here to worship you. Help us to get rid of all the distractions that the world gives us. Lord, we pray against Satan this morning and the distractions that he would like to place on our minds as we hear your word later on. As we pray to you even now, Lord, we know he is seeking to draw our minds to other things. But we pray, Lord, that your voice will be heard here this morning. In the words that we sing, in the words that are preached, in the words that come off the page of your word, the Bible. And Lord, that we would leave here this morning, knowing that we have met with you, the great loving God. And as we come now, Lord, to worship you more and continue with the rest of our service, Lord, we do pray that we would know your presence. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to sing another song this morning now. These are the days of Elijah. It sort of talks about some Old Testament things that are happening today. And it helps us to remember that in a few moments we're going to come down. And I'm going to come down to the front. And we're going to have the sacrament of baptism. Something that was set up in the Old Testament that continues right through to the new, to the here and now. So as we sing about this voice and these days of Elijah, this really uplifting song, let's really open our hearts and sing to God, "These are the days of Elijah."
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still with a voice in the desert crying, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and now to Zion's hill salvation comes." And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as wide in the world. We are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and now to Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and now to Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, now to Zion's hill salvation come.
I wish the band would learn to jazz that up a wee bit. Thank you for your ministry to us this morning. We come this morning to baptize little baby Maya this morning. And we do this because of the promises of God. God made a promise to Abraham way back in Genesis. In Genesis 17, he says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. This covenant was established with a sign. The sign was circumcision, and Abraham was to be circumcised. And this sign was to be given to his children, his eight-day-old son. We're told in Genesis that he was given this command. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Abraham was obedient to this command of God. In Genesis 21, we're told, when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. God here in the Old Testament is claiming a people for himself. A people who would have faith in him and their children, setting them aside to be holy. But even in the Old Testament, as God was initiating this covenant, he was also pointing forward to something new. Something later on in history would change. He tells Abraham, he says, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Now, we may think that that was because Abraham was going to be a great nation and there would be loads of people, loads of his offspring, an offspring numbering the stars in the sky, that through this many, many people, the other people would be blessed. But the original language, the Hebrew with which this verse is written, the word offspring is in the singular. So Abraham has been told that because of one single person in his family tree, one single person who will be his descendant, through that one single person, all nations will be blessed. If you read through that big long list that we normally skip past in Luke chapter 3, the genealogy of Jesus, all those names, what does that matter? It matters because in that list we find Abraham. And then at the bottom of that list, we find Jesus. Jesus is that single offspring. Jesus tells us himself in Luke's gospel that he is that one offspring. And through him, the new covenant will be initiated. He says, in the same way after the supper, Jesus took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. We remembered that here last week as we remembered the sacrament of communion, remembering what Jesus had done. You see, Jesus came and he went to the cross. His blood was shed for all of those people who would believe. That meant there was no longer any requirement for blood to be shed, either in sacrifice or in circumcision. Those things were gone. Something new was coming. Paul tells us, in him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, but not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. Baptism clearly replaces that old covenant sign of circumcision. Now the sign has changed, but it still remains only a sign. Not everyone who was circumcised automatically got a ticket to go to heaven. And it's the same in baptism. The only ticket that gets us to heaven is faith. Hebrews tells us clearly that Abraham, by faith, went when he was told to go, made a home when he was told to make it, became a father. He offered his son as a sacrifice because of faith. His righteousness was because of his faith, not because of any sign, not because of anything that was done to him. Hebrews then tells us that faith is the key. It is impossible to please God without faith. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The reward for those who earnestly seek him is an inheritance that will never spoil, never fade, and never perish. That is an eternity in heaven, in God's holy presence. This is the covenant promise for those who believe in God, those who have faith in Jesus as their Savior. And it's for their children. The New Testament tells us clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, that the children of even just one believing parent, that child is holy. Today we are being presented with baby Maya. Her parents are handing her over to be baptized. Today, baby Maya has been handed a letter, as it were, full of these promises from God. And this letter is sealed. You know that sort of old seal that used to go on to letters before you had to lick that terrible old envelope? The wax was poured over the envelope and either a ring or a little seal was placed on it. You knew who the letter was from because of the seal. And only the recipient had the right to open that letter. Today, Maya has been sealed. She's receiving the sign of these promises of God. And we hope that one day her faith will develop and that she will break that seal open and receive those promises for herself because she has accepted Jesus as her Savior. And our prayer today as a congregation, as the family who are visiting with us, would be that Andrew and Roberta, along with Sophia and Caleb, would be blessed as a covenant household. That is indeed our prayer. So we're going to come to God now in prayer, and then I will come down and the family will come up and meet me at the baptismal font. So let's bow our heads in prayer before God. Lord, we worship you and we give you the thanks for salvation. We praise you, God, for not leaving us sinful and separated. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his work at Calvary. We thank you that because he went to Calvary, he makes salvation possible. Lord, we know and understand that salvation is a personal matter between each of us and you, Almighty God. But we acknowledge too that you desire to work that salvation out through families. We thank you for those covenant promises that you make in the Scriptures. To those parents who believe, and for this present, Lord, or this promise, Lord, to bless the children of these believing parents, we ask that your blessing would fall on Maya today. Thank you, Lord, for the faith of her parents, and we pray that with your help and with the guidance that they would be your instruments in leading Maya, along with Sophia and Caleb, to the knowledge of Jesus as Savior. Lord, we ask all of this in Christ's precious name. Amen. In accordance with God's purposes for us, revealed in his covenant and in the mind of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and in the practice of the Church of Christ, Andrew and Roberta Beatty now present little baby Maya for baptism. So would the congregation please stand? Andrew and Roberta, in presenting Maya Grace Beatty for baptism, do you profess your faith in God as your Creator and Father, in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit as your sanctifier and guide? We do and I do. Now, what way are you going to answer this? We do.
Do it again and say it the other way
around. We do.
We do.
They do. I think they do. Amen. Will you, by God's help, provide a Christian home and bring this child up in the worship and teaching of the church so that your child may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior?
We will.
Thank you. Now, congregation, Represented here today are people who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are members of the extended family, people who are members of this congregation. So this morning we want to ask you a question. The question starts with, do you? So the answer is, we do. So if you are qualified to answer this question, at the appropriate time, I'll give you a nod and you answer, we do. Do you in Christ's name receive this child into the fellowship of the church? Do you promise by God's help to order the congregational life and witness that Maya may grow up in the knowledge and love of God and be continuously surrounded by Christian example and influence? Do you so promise? May the Lord give all of us the grace to fulfill these promises. Maya, Grace, Beatty, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit be with you both now and forevermore. Amen. Folks, I present to you baby Maya Grace, who has not yet cried, as the newest member of our congregation. I'm going to hand her over now quickly. Back to your daddy. Well done. We're now going to sing together the Aaronic blessing. The Lord. Bless. We're going to worship God together again as we sing Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. And at the end of this song, the boys and girls will leave for their programs. And then we will have our offering. But let's stand together and sing this lovely hymn that reminds us of what has just gone on here at the front of the church. Let's all stand together and sing Our Children, Lord, in Faith and Prayer. We will now continue to worship this great covenant-making God. He promises to bless us, and it's our privilege now to give back a little of what he has blessed us with. Our offering will now be received. Let's pray. Lord, we offer ourselves as your servants, as living sacrifices. And here today, Lord, we offer you our finances as part of our material sacrifice. And we pray, Lord, that this material would become a spiritual blessing wherever it's used. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're coming now to our time of intercessory prayer, and this morning we've been concentrating so much on new life, and it's lovely to see children and to see so many children leave the building here to go out to their programs. But this week, unfortunately, we had to remember the passing of a life. This week, Henry Bailey passed away on Thursday morning peacefully in hospital after a long period of ill health. His funeral was here on Saturday morning. As a congregation, we want to pray for his wife, Margaret, and for his sons, Mark, Gary, Rodney, and Peter, for their families and for the grandchildren and just their wider family circle this morning. So as we bow our heads in a moment, we'll do that, and then we'll just concentrate, and we'll pray this morning for children, just in different circumstances that we will know and some that we don't know about, so let's come before God in our prayers of intercession. Lord, this morning we are celebrating as we worship you, as we remember your promises. And Lord, we know there is a family this morning who are still coming to terms with the loss of a grandfather, a father, a husband, a brother. Lord, we pray for the family of Henry Bailey. May they know your loving arms surrounding them. Lord, you promise to comfort those who mourn. We are confident that you will be there to comfort them, Lord. And we pray that they would turn to you throughout their generations. And they would turn to you for that comfort, Lord. As a grandparent, a parent, or a grandchild, as they grieve and mourn the loss. And Lord, we realize that there are those people who have lost not someone at that upper end of the family, but there are those people who have lost their children. We think especially of those parents in Nigeria who have had their children taken from them. They've been captured and are being held. Lord, we pray for those children. We pray for those parents and the anxiety that they must face at this time. And we pray, Lord, for a swift, safe return of those children. We pray, Lord, you would speak into the perpetrators of this terrible act. Speak into their hearts, Lord, and make them realize that whatever they're trying to achieve, they need to achieve it by some other means. Lord, we ask that your peace would descend into their hearts. And Lord, your peace needs to be descended into so many hearts and into so many different situations around the world. Yes, into our individual lives. And we just think this morning, Lord, of the situation in Ukraine. The tension that has been building and building and building. And Lord, we realize there'll be so many children caught up in that conflict, not knowing why their parents are fighting, not knowing why soldiers are firing shots and guns. And Lord, they'll be so confused, so frightened, so terrified, as are all children caught up in any conflict in any country around the world. So are those children, Lord, who are caught up in domestic conflicts. We pray for your hand upon the trouble that faces our very homes, those places where our children should feel the safest. We ask, Lord God, that you would be there and they would know your presence, that you would not just help them through the fear, but Lord, you would remove the fear by intervening in that trouble that's there in the home. We ask, Lord God, that our children, the children of the parents represented here this morning, those children that have gone out to their program, that mad program, making a disciple, we pray, Lord, that each of those children will be, in fact, your disciples. That they would grow in their knowledge of you, their God, of Jesus, their Savior, by the power that they can tap into of the Holy Spirit to lead them and guide them in every decision that their young lives have to make. We pray, Lord, that you would help them choose the right friends, that they, in fact, would be the right kind of friends for other children. We pray, Lord, that as those children grow up, that they would apply themselves, not just to the knowledge held in scriptures, the knowledge about you, but the knowledge that they receive at school. Lord, many of our older young folk will be approaching their exams shortly, Lord, and we do pray that they will apply themselves to that information. Lord, that they would get the results that they need. That they would know by these results, Lord, the kind of person you want them to be. That you would be revealing to them their strengths and their weaknesses, the vocation that you would have for them. And Lord, we pray for parents. As those children grow and develop, become young adults, start making decisions for themselves, deciding which university to go to or which job to take, Lord, as they fly the nest, Lord, we pray for those parents who are facing this very thing maybe this year or in the next couple of years. The anxiety is as those once young babes that they held in their arms now stand before them as tall or taller, as young men and young women ready to go out and face the world. Lord, we pray for their development right through the passage of life and beyond. Lord, we thank you that each of us, no matter what age we are your children. Lord, you have promised to bless us as families, and we thank you, Lord, that you do so. We thank you that that is visible here in this congregation or in the congregation where our visitors who are here with us this morning normally worship. Lord, in each of our families, we see that you do bless us, and we thank you that you've done so. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to do so. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I would invite you now to turn with me to the scriptures. We are looking at the I Am sayings of Jesus. And we're looking this morning at John chapter 10, where Jesus says that he is the shepherd of his flock, where he says he is the gate where the sheep enter into the sheep pen. We're going to read this morning the first 21 verses of that passage, and then we'll focus in on the first three or four verses to see what God has to say to each of us this morning. This is God's word as we find it in John chapter 10. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchmen open the gate for him, and the sheep enters, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he has a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Amen. And we'll end our reading there. I know in the congregation this morning we have a few shepherds. And I have a really, really good friend who has sheep. Now, I don't claim to know much about sheep. I know that sheep taste good, especially with a little bit of mint sauce. They produce wool, keeps us warm. And my limited experience as a shepherd, I know that they are stupid animals. When I used to go and visit my mate's house, his dad used to get me to go and feed the sheep. But I understand now, he only did that for pure entertainment purposes. He used to send me into that field with a bag of meal, and the sheep would surround me, and I would be telling the sheep to get back. Stupid animals. But I realize now they're not stupid. I wasn't their shepherd. They didn't know my voice. They didn't recognize my voice. And as humans, voice recognition is a very important thing for us. Sometimes we say about people who are quite loud, oh, you hear them before you see them. Usually they say that about me. But we know the voice because we recognize that person's voice. We also know how people are feeling by the tone of their voice. Sometimes I hear, Neil. Sometimes I hear, Neil! I know the mood of my wife. And I know that I'm going to find some sort of excuse depending on which way she calls out my name. Recognizing voices is very, very important for us. But recognizing the voice of Jesus, it's not just important, it's vital. Jesus says in verse 2 of the reading today that he is the gate and the shepherd. And as we read these verses, we begin to unpack this illustration and we ask ourselves, how can something be the gate and be the shepherd? But Jesus tells us very plainly throughout this passage, that in verse 9 he says, I am the gate. And then in verses 11 and 14 he says, I am the good shepherd. And it's important for us not to try and tie down all of the illustrations that we would understand a shepherd and a sheep to be, because then we'll get into a bit of a knot. Because illustrations are for one point and one point only. So as we move through this passage, we will realize that Jesus shifts the meaning, but he doesn't take away from the illustration. Jesus is saying here that he controls access. As the gate, he controls access to the sheep pen. And then as the shepherd, he says he protects the sheep in that pen. The pen is the church. The pen are those people who know and love him. They are those people that we looked at last week in chapter 6. For the visitors, we looked at Jesus when he said in chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will never turn them away. These are the people who come to Jesus, who come to the gate, people who are sent by the Father. Jesus knows the genuine seekers. Jesus knows the sheep who are being sent by the Father and the sheep who are trying to come some other way. The sheep who come to the gate realize that the price is too expensive, and then they try to go around and jump the gate. Think of the illustration of, I remember going to stock cars and watching boys park the car and jump over the gate, or some other gate, or some other part of the wire, because they don't want to pay the fee to get in, or people going to football matches. People try to get in some other way. People who try to enter the church some other way, Jesus describes them as a thief in verse 1, or a robber. People trying to be part of this pen, trying to be part of this church, and they're trying to be part of this church based on their own efforts and their own efforts alone. They may serve the church. They may live a lifestyle that looks as if they're part of the church. People who do this, they're trying to receive a blessing. It's not theirs. It's a blessing that they will not receive because they're not qualified to receive it. They're trying to attain a blessing. A blessing that is deserved only by those people who have listened to the voice of the shepherd. Because people who are Jesus' sheep, they have listened to his voice. He calls the sheep by name in verse 3, he says. He knows every single one of the sheep in this pen. And he knows every one of the sheep in the pen because every single sheep in this pen has called out his name. In the book of Philippians, we're told that God exalted Jesus to the highest place. He gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every single person who is a sheep has confessed with their tongue that Jesus is their personal Savior. And as we confess Jesus as our personal Savior, that initiates this personal relationship. It makes us come to be in a position where we're on first name terms with Jesus. There's no more Mr., there's no more Mrs., there's no more Reverend, there's nothing of that. When we know people well, we talk to them on their first name basis. And I would just like to warn you that if anyone here goes to my wife and says, hello, Mrs. Neil Stewart, well, her name is Ruth. My name is Neil. You all have your names. We talk to each other on first name basis because we know each other. We know each other well. When we know Jesus well, he speaks to us personally on a first name basis. And he wants us to speak to him on that first name basis. And we should approach Jesus with a bended knee with our heads bowed low. We should confess him as Lord and Savior because of what he has done. He tells us what a good shepherd does. The good shepherd lays down his life, he tells us. Jesus has told us later on in John's Gospel. He says, no greater love has anyone than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus Christ has laid down his life for his sheep. Now, historically, shepherds would put their life on the line for the sheep. But they wouldn't generally die for the flock. They would, for the sake of the flock, even sacrifice one or two sheep to the wolves or the bears. They would go and try and fight these predators off. But if they were going to be overwhelmed, they would not let their life be lost so that the bear or the wolf would eat them and then eat the rest of the flock. They would sacrifice some of the flock to save the rest. Jesus didn't do that. In verse 18, we're told that he laid down his life of his own accord. No one made Jesus lay down. Again, over in Philippians, just those verses that I referred to, there are some other verses there that tell us about Jesus' attitude to the sacrifice. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness. He was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. There is the one sense in the scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. There's that song that we sing, God sent his son. We call him Jesus. But here in this passage, it seems to be saying that Jesus gave his own life. He laid it down of his own accord. In Philippians, he made himself nothing. It seems to be that as we read this, there could be some kind of contradiction happening there. There is no contradiction in Scripture. Jesus Christ has authority. As the shepherd, he has authority to lay down his life, and he had the authority to take it up again. Jesus Christ did not lie down for an afternoon nap, a little siesta on a hot day. He died for our sins. That's what it means when he says he lay down. And when he said he had the authority to take it up again, it means that he conquered death for us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've got to remember that he is equal in substance, power, and authority to his heavenly Father. He has a different role to play. But the Father-Son imagery sometimes takes away from the equality that Jesus had. He did not consider this equality with God something to be grasped, so he made himself nothing for us. That's what these I am sayings are all about. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, when he said that, there would have been something in the Jewish ears that picked up. They would have went straight back to what they would have known off by heart, these verses in Exodus. When God was to take a message to the Israelites, Moses said, who shall I say is sending me? I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent you. Jesus says clearly, just outside of our reading this morning, if you'd like to look with me at these few verses over the page, but just a little bit further on, he says in verses 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I am the same as God. I am God. That's what he was saying to the people. The Jews picked up stones to stone him. Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone us? We are not stoning you for any of these, replied the Jews, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus was telling them plainly and clearly who he was, and he had the authority to do what no one else could do. God, as our Father, in the person of his Son, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, loved each of us enough to open the gate to his church, to this pen. Jesus then calls us personally by name. We respond by confessing him as our personal Savior. And when you do that, you're in the pen. There's no other way to get into the pen. But this gate to the pen is not now locked. Jesus says here in verse 16, he says, I have sheep that are not of this pen, and I must bring them in, he says. The work of the shepherd continues. This passage and where Jesus was speaking here on this day in history, he was speaking primarily to the Jews, the chosen people. But he was saying there was other people, the Gentiles. That's us. We are not Jews here this morning. And if you are a Jew here this morning, I apologize. But generally, the most of us are not Jews this morning. We are Gentiles. But this great covenant promise that we looked at this morning is for all nations. This is the shepherd who fulfilled that promise to bless all nations. That's us here gathered today. And as part of this church, this pen, this people who have been blessed by God, we do have a great shepherd. Not only is he the gate that allows us to be part of this sheep pen, but he is the shepherd who leads us. It says in verse 4 that the shepherd leads them out of the pen. Now again, we've got to be careful that we don't get tied up in the illustration. We're not being told here that we can be called into the pen, which is the church, and then Jesus can lead us back out of the church. Somehow we are part of the church, and then we're not part of the church. What Jesus is saying here is, sheep stay in a pen, but at times they have to be led out of the pen. Sheep do not stay in a sheepfold all the time. And he leads us out in verse 9 to pasture. Now, that doesn't mean you're an old knacker and the pasture's not the knacker's yard. Jesus leads us out to pasture. He leads us to places of spiritual nourishment. He leads us to places where we can perform acts of service for his kingdom. And as we walk, we stay close to the shepherd. The shepherd doesn't let the sheep run away. We're safe in the pen, but we're also safe when we're out of the pen, growing and learning to be the best sheep that we can be. Jesus again tells us of this security in verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So God invites us to the gate, which is Jesus. Jesus brings us in to the church of which he is shepherd. He leads us out to acts of service, to places where we can come and learn more about him. Because his desire is that we would live life to the full. Other shepherds, they want to break in and destroy. But in verse 10, he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now that doesn't mean that we're going to be wealthy and rich and healthy and have all the toys and have all the trappings of life. A full life is knowing that you have this security. A security that will be carrying our sister Margaret through these next few weeks and months. The security of knowing that the shepherd is walking through her as she walks through the valley of the shadow of death. knowing that the shepherd is with us, when we see our children blossom, when we see them getting good exam results, as we see them doing well at sports or having good friends, as we see our young people serving the Lord, wanting to worship God, having a desire to be with other godly people. This life to the full, some believe, is not about here on earth. To live life to the full is to live this life to its fullest expression in heaven. Some believe it's both, and I believe it's both. The fullness of this life begins at that moment when we accept Jesus as our Savior. That's when eternal life starts, in that moment. And God wants us to have a full life knowing Him, having that relationship here and now and forevermore. God promised to bless all nations through His Son, and He did it. We're part of that blessing. Those words that Abraham were giving, we here who know and love the Lord, we are one of those stars in the sky. Jesus is the gate and the shepherd. I pray that you have heard His voice today and that you've listened, that you've taken His words into your heart, and that you're leaving here today remembering that you trust Him alone, that you trusted Him alone to make an entrance into this, His church. And that you know that He will protect you, that you live that life to the full. That's what we're here about today. That's why we're looking at this passage today. That's why God laid it on my heart to preach it today. He wants you to know that you can trust Him and trust Him alone as our shepherd. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to sing that lovely 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's My Shepherd," but with the little bridge, the little refrain, that "I will trust in you alone." This is the God who brought us in here today for whatever reason. So we want to trust that God as we leave and go wherever He would lead us. So let's pray, and then we'll sing "The Lord's My Shepherd." Lord God, we thank You that You have a voice that is recognizable and that can be heard above all of the noise that the world tries to confuse us with. A voice that can be heard above the voices of those who would seek to rob and steal. Lord, we pray for Your voice today. And we ask, Lord, as we unite our hearts and sing together, that You would speak to us through Christ. Amen.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still water. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in You alone. And I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. Guides my way in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His pure delight, and I will trust in You. And I will trust in You alone. For Your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. And darkest path. I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home.
Lord, we ask that your endless mercies would follow us through these doors this morning. And that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us today and forevermore until you lead us home. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.